Welcome to Antioch Community Church. My name is Travis. I got my name tag so you don't get me and Adam confused tonight since we're Twinkies. So we're glad that you guys are here. We are excited about what God is doing, and we've been in the middle of a series called The Generous Life. So we just want to invite you into that. If this is your first time, I hope that this feels like family to you. If you've been coming for a while, I hope that this feels like family to you. And that we get to experience together a generous life. John 3:16 starts out saying, God so loved the world that he gave. And that was his response to love, is that he gave. And what did he give? He gave his son. And ultimately, his son, Jesus, gave his life for us. So really, this series is all about our response to the way that God gave to us and the way that God was so generous to us. And so it is our response of givenness to God, that we would be a people who are given to him, and that we are given to him in our affection and our passion, our desires, because he has been so good to us that our passion would be about him and his purposes. That we've looked a lot at our finances. We looked at tithing and said we're going to trust God with the first 10%. We looked at radical giving last week and saying we want to give above and beyond because God has gone above and beyond for us. And all of that we see in Scripture, Jesus teaching over and over again on finances, and it's related to givenness because it's so intertwined to our hearts. This place of finances and money, and God longs to set us free, and I hope you've been experiencing that. I've been hearing great testimonies from people sharing with me what God is doing in their life and setting them free from the control of money because it's real. And tonight, we're going to talk a little more about that, and I believe that tonight is going to be a great key to unlocking the prison of that sometimes we have when it comes to finances, the prison that we find ourselves in. And it comes with this principle, living simply, and the motivation being so that others might simply live. Living simply so that others might simply live. I believe that there are those in this room who have been here through this Generous Life series, and they're like, yeah, we want to be generous. We want to be generous not only to God, but to those around us, but we don't feel like we know how, or we just feel like we can't. And I want to turn to Matthew chapter 6, and I believe that there's a verse here, verse 24, that we're going to read that will really help to highlight a major component in the battle of being given, because it really is a battle. It can be a struggle to be given because we want to preserve and protect our own lives rather than to give it away. And so we're going to look at Matthew 6, verse 24. Jesus says this, "No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other." And so just want to stop there for a moment and see what a wise observation this is from Jesus. And so he's just been talking about finances, where your heart is, that where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And then he kind of seems to switch gears a little bit, and he says, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. And I just want us to take a look at this truth a little bit and apply it to what that may mean in real everyday life. And we could look at it like this. Maybe you have a boss, and yet your boss has a boss. And one of the bosses is off-site and one's on-site. And you kind of report to both of them and you're giving feedback. And it's really difficult because those bosses aren't on exactly the same page. And it might be like, I really despise this one because he doesn't really know what's going on. But my boss here, she understands because she's on site. And you kind of, there's a tension there. It can be even more personal than that. If any of you grew up in a home with parents that were separated, maybe you lived with a mom or a dad, and you kind of had two masters there. And you lived with one, went and visited the other, and they had differing opinions on different things, and there was this tension on who is my master. I feel drawn this way, but then I feel guilty, and you have that revelation that I can't fully serve both masters. It puts me in too great of a tension. It's just hard to do. It's impossible is what Jesus says. No one can do it. And then the last part of this verse, then Jesus says, he says, you cannot serve both God and money. You cannot serve both God and money. And it's an interesting choice here because we have this this dichotomy and we can feel this tension. And so then he relates it to serving him. And he says, you cannot serve both God and the devil. No, that's not what he says. He doesn't say you can't serve God and participate in evil. He says and makes the conclusion, you cannot serve both God and money. He could have said those other things as well. But what he says next is you cannot serve both God and money. And so what we want to explore tonight is, what does that really mean? How does that apply to me? Money in and of itself is not inherently evil. There is nothing wrong with the green paper or silver coins that we have in our pockets that we go to work every day to earn and that we spend on groceries. There's nothing inherently wrong with it. But what does this mean? Is this verse, does it apply to those who are just excessively greedy? Or those that will go to any cost, no matter what the ethical concerns or legal implications, that they'll go to any length to make another dollar? That they abuse friendships and relationships at the cost of making money? What is this about? When does money become a master? And I look at this, and typically I think, oh, well, that's for somebody that's just way out there and over the top concerned about money. But I believe that God wants to continue to pull out the truth of what this verse really is applying to. And I want to do that by using a few graphs. And this is something that helped us to learn what this is talking about, okay? So I want to show you a few graphs. First one is very, very simple. So we have, I believe it's been a while, but the y-axis, that goes up and down, right? And then our x-axis, or axis. And so that's money going up, and then that's time going out to the side. So we have these two things working. So money increasing and time going on. And this line represents our income. All right, and we're going to try to get really practical. This is going to be a more practical than normal sermon, and because we really want to help out here as much as we can, get practical, because this is a real everyday thing that we face. And so this may not be what your income looks like. This the idea of this is that as you grow in maturity, wisdom, skills, experience, that your income goes up as time goes on. Now, some of you, maybe it's gone up and then down and up, or some of you hit a level and you flatline. I don't know where exactly you are, but just for generality to speak to it, this is the idea that as time goes on, your income will increase in life. And so what we do, and this is right, there's nothing wrong with that. We have an income and we provide for our families, we make money. But this is what we do, and what I want to put is add a line to this, and we have not only our income, but we have our spending. And I don't know how well you can see that, but there's a green dotted line that's represents our spending. And that spending is pressing right up against our income. And that's often where people in our society live, where that spending is pressing right up against that income. And this is one of the reasons that happens. It's because we have believed a lie. Just somewhere inside of us, we've believed this lie as a culture, that our quality of life is tied to our standard of living. All right, so that our standard of living it equals our quality of life. And so if we believe that that's true, then everything that we make in our income, we are going to try to increase our quality of life and max it out, so bringing it and hugging it right up close to our income, because that means the more that we have, the better our life is going to be. And I think many of us in this room can say, yeah, that's not right. The amount that we spend, or the amount of stuff that we have, does not necessarily equal the quality of our life. Just because we have a higher standard of living doesn't mean we have a greater quality of life. And we need to know that. That is true. Those things do not equate. And it won't take you long to look at people with a lot of stuff. There's a lot of people with a lot of stuff who do not have happy, fulfilling lives. And we can just know that that's true. And yet, what we often feel is if we just had a little bit more, then we'd be happier. We'd be more free. The stress would go away. And so we think, okay, yeah, if I could just make a little more, get that pay raise, if I just had benefits, or if I could get this better job, then it would all be better. But I want you to notice something. Nothing changes. Okay, so you may have even said that 5 years ago, or you may be saying that now. If I only had a little more, it would just take this pressure off of me, and then I'll be free. Then I'll be able to give. I'll be able to not be anxious about my finances. But the truth of the matter is that when we begin making more, we begin spending more. It is just a pattern. It is the American way, because our quality of life is dictated by how much stuff that we have. And so what we do is we just buy more stuff, and we keep pressing this line. And those that make more money actually often have even greater stress and anxiety, because that line is still pressed together, and now they have a six-figure job, which, you know, we'd sit there and say, wow, if I had a six-figure job, I would just be giving so much away and doing this or that. And maybe that person was saying the same thing, but now they are there. And they are still stressed out because now they have a lot more stuff, a lot more invested into this stuff. And so if anything were to go wrong with their job, or if sales were to go down, then they're really in trouble, because it's not that easy to go find another six-figure job. And so actually the stress increases with the amount of stuff. And the quality of life decreases to the point that you're not even able to enjoy the stuff that you thought would make you happy. And so what even becomes worse, and we know this, is that line can actually switch over the opposite direction. And that's what we have on our next graph, is where our spending, it's now above our income. And in fact, statistics would say that 40% of us in this room have credit card debt. Now, I'm not even talking about mortgages or a payment on a car or school loan. The latest statistics say that like 39.7% of American households have credit card debt. The average of that credit card debt for those that have credit card debt is around $8,000. And the average interest that they're paying is over 12%. So this is people that are monthly servicing credit card debt. And so they have gone and they've kind of flipped upside down. The graph is now upside down. Where that line should be below, it is now flipped upside down. And listen, I know, again, so we know that there's 40% of people, the statistics tell us, are in that position, just for credit cards. And I know school loans and what have you are a whole nother ballgame. And for some in this room, that has been just, man, life seems to have knocked my legs out from under me. And we're living month to month. We're just trying to get by, and these needs come up, and it's just difficult. And we found ourselves in this place, and we're trying to live simply, and we're trying to get free, and it's so tough. And we want to walk with you. We want to get in your boat. We want to ask God for grace that you would be able to get right in those situations. However, there's a whole nother group in this room and out there that really it's less of life has knocked your legs out from underneath you, and it's just been about a series of poor decisions, a lack of discipline. What the truth of the matter is that debt is how we increase our standard of living. We use debt to increase our standard of living, hoping that that will increase our quality of life. And instead, what we need is discipline to increase our quality of life. There's been a lack of discipline, and so you've gone into debt trying to increase your quality of life, when in reality, discipline is what you need to help increase your quality of life. discipline in your financial habits. And hey, we've got people across the board in this room, people that have been through the ups and downs of different economic situations, have made a little, made a lot. And I pray that God is just speaking to us afresh. And I know there's a whole nother crew out here that is just beginning to be in that place of making financial decisions. So God is wanting to give grace. He's wanting to give direction. And he's wanting to set precedent. Set precedent for those entering in the phase of life where they're making money and making choices on what they're going to spend, if they're going to go into debt. And I pray that we really think about what that really means. So what is this supposed to look like? All right? What is this supposed to look like? And that'll be our next chart. Our next chart shows what this looks like, where our income is going up and our spending, though it going up as well, is not hugging that line. It is creating space, and we're calling that space the generous life. Because when we are stressed, when we are anxious, we're financially tapped, we are emotionally tapped, we are not able to live the generous life that we've been talking about. You may have been stirred by last week's message on giving, and I want to give, I want to be free to give, but I can't. I cannot. I am up to my eyeballs in debt and paying bills. I can't do it. And so what we want to do is figure out what does it look like to be able to build in this space so that we can truly live the generous life. What does it look like to be able to get there and to live there so that we can be more generous with our time, so that we're not caught up in our own needs and our own pressures, and we can actually get in someone else's boat and say, hey, how can we help? How can I bless you? And it ceases to be about us, and we're able to live generously. And the last graph I want to show you, I've had the privilege of knowing a few people who have lived this out. So what is this? This is where someone gets to a place in life and they say, wow, I've got everything that I need. I've got everything that I need and plus things that I've just wanted. And I'm going to stop my standard of living. I'm going to flatline my standard of living, and I'm going to increase my standard of giving. And I know individuals who have done that. I know companies that have done that. People that have started successful companies, and where they are CEO, president, owner, founder, and they said, wow, we are making plenty of money. We're going to set ourselves a salary, and everything else that the company makes above that is going towards the kingdom. That's somebody that's gotten free from finances. They're saying, we've got enough. We don't need that. We know that will not increase our quality of life. In fact, it will probably decrease it. And so we've learned that kingdom lesson. And so we're just going to stay here. We are good. Our family is good. God has been more than generous. And we're going to give everything else to the work of God. And so we want to create this space in our own life. And that's that space, what it is, first of all, is saying, God, everything is yours. Everything is yours. The first of it's yours. I'm going to be faithful to tithe. And then God says, okay, then you pay your bills, those things that you have to do, you provide for your family, you put food on the table, the things God calls you to, you take care of those things. And what we want to have left over is that white space and saying, God, okay, I've given, I've tithed, I've paid my bills, I've gotten free of my debt. Now I have this. What can we do with it? How can I give it away? Maybe he would say, hey, put some in savings for your kids. Maybe he would say, hey, give to this project that's going on. Hey, invest it in the poor here. But we have something we're saying, God, here it is. It's all yours, but now all this that you've asked me to steward well, I've stewarded well. I've lived simply. I haven't lived above and beyond my means. I've stewarded things well. Now here, what can we do with this? And then the adventure begins. Of getting to be in the adventure with God. Who knows who God could connect you with, how he would want to use you in that way. But the journey begins there. It sets us free. It's a place of freedom that we get to walk in with God. And that's very much the opposite of graph number two, where we squeeze those lines back together. And there really is no freedom. There's pressure. We don't feel the room to live in the generous life. And what that is like is being a slave. We can't give to the things that we want to give to. We're not able, we don't have the space to even be fully obedient to God. Our decisions that we're making are all wrapped up in financial concerns. Or how is that going to affect my economic situation? You know, and so that's how our decisions are made. Or our life is being dictated by the bills coming in. It's being dictated by our car payment. It's being dictated by a credit card company where we're just a number. They don't even know us. They're not going to hear our situation, but they are sending letters. They are having people call and saying and demanding money from you. And all of a sudden, we, through spending and borrowing, have made ourselves slaves to money. And for me, when I began thinking on this and hearing of this, it was just a wake-up call. Matthew 6:24. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. And when those lines are pressing together, or we've slipped in over our heads in debt, we are not free. And God longs to set us free. I've got a friend who is one of those individuals that I've met who stopped increasing his standard of living so that he could increase his standard of giving. He, right after college, he became a teacher. He was a teacher for a couple of years right out of college. And after that, he went back to law school. And he went to a great law school, finished second in his class, and so he had a pick of jobs. He got a great job. And right out of the gate, he was making just over $200,000 a year at this job. And so he got in this job, and obviously he's like, oh my goodness, you know, what in the world? And he clearly feels like God says, I want you to continue living off your teacher salary. He was a single man, and he said, I want you to continue living off your teacher salary, which is more around the $30,000 mark. And he says, okay, I can do that. And he actually got really excited. He was like, I was fine as a teacher. I had everything I needed. And so he kept his Saturn. You know, he stayed in the same apartment full of guys and roommates. And he's just like, I can do this. And what he had the opportunity to do was to give. I mean, he was supporting so many missionaries and all his friends that were missionaries, and he supported our family. He actually gave to this church when we were first starting. We're raising money to start this church. He gave to the church, and he was able to give, and it was fun. It was exciting that he was able to be in all these people's lives and support the call of God on their lives. He has an inheritance here because of his support and his willingness to just say, yeah, I want to give. I want to give generously. I want to give radically. And so he was giving. And at the same time, he felt like God was challenging him to aggressively pay off his debt. Law school is no little chunk of change. And so he was aggressively paying off his debt. He was able to pay off his debt between 2.5 and 3 years. He paid off the full amount of his debt. And it was really sweet because around that time, he was just getting really unsettled with this corporate lifestyle and the law firm. And he was just really wondering if this is his ultimate call. Was he going to be in this? But for us, as from a little child, he wanted to be a lawyer. Felt like God was speaking to him. And about that time, 3 years in, he began to feel like God was calling him to ministry. And so today he's on a church plant team, and he's using his law degree in the Antioch movement to help with some of the sex slavery and trafficking things that Antioch has been pursuing to fight. And so he's been able to use his law degree, help people out, and do this. But he's coming alive. He's a part of a church plant team as well. And you know what's cool about that story? Is that he was free to obey God. He was free to follow the stirring in his heart to obey God and be on a church planting team and be able to go and serve this work. He was free to do it. And because he heard God, because he chose to live simply, because he chose to have this generous life, because he chose to aggressively go after his debt, because you know what all of his comrades, his co-workers that got that job at the same time, all these other guys from top law schools and all that the first thing they did, and I remember him telling me, he's like, they all went out and got new cars. They all went out and got new wardrobes. They moved downtown and got a really nice condo. They got some fun toys. And all of a sudden, now they have all of this added debt to go with their school debt. And yeah, they're making a lot of money, but now they are slaves to their job. Absolutely. They cannot go, because where are they going to go and find another $200,000 job? They're not. And so whatever they are told to do, and that's part of the reason he left, he was like, they were demanding so much and so many hours. He's like, this is not what I want to spend my life on. And so, but those, if he would not have done that, slave. Slave to making more money, to service, higher debt, and the stakes are just higher. Because the cars were nicer, condos were on higher floors, you know? We've got to get to a place where we can just live simply, where we realize that our standard of living does not equal our quality of life, but where instead we can live in this place simply and then get in with the dreams of God and see how others can simply live. You've heard me tell this story, but it was a wake-up call for me. When I was in Indonesia, one of the first times I went over there, and we took this weekend trip out into the middle of nowhere, and there was a small group of believers in this, maybe 1% of this village, less than the number of these believers, and they were meeting together, and it was a pastor's house. They lived in the back, and then they had a little congregation area in the front. And there was always threats against them, and the landlord was saying, you can't keep doing this. I'm getting a bad reputation for you being able to do this. But he was willing to sell it to them. And so they were doing this massive campaign to buy this building that was kind of this house and this area for a congregation. And they had printed all this literature. They were praying, and they were fasting, and they were believing for God to bring in the finances, just to produce the miracle, to be able to buy this building so that they could worship God freely in this space, and they wouldn't be threatened for it to be taken from them. And so I was like, wow, we want to believe with you, pray with you. Well, I see the literature, can't read it, but as they tell me, they're like, we're believing for God to raise $5,000. That's what it's going to cost to buy this building. And that just hit me like a ton of bricks. $5,000? All of this, and for this congregation to have this church building so they could meet free from oppression or threatened to be broken up. $5,000? I could make a phone call and have a check for $5,000. That's nothing. For someone here, for us as a church, if we heard that story and said, okay, let's rally and get $5,000, piece of cake, we would do it. If we had any room, if we had a place where we could give, and what it hit me is that if I can live simply, then others can simply live. And it was just shocking to me. But if I can live simply, others can experience life. We want to be free. Like my friend who was able to hear the call of God and immediately respond because he was free from debt. He hadn't continually accumulated. In fact, he had aggressively come against it. because I know others who have felt the call of God to move overseas, to go and minister to the poorest of the poor, to share Jesus with those who've never heard, and they haven't been able to because of debt. And they try to pay it off, and a few have ended up being able to go eventually, and others have just never been able to go. The time passed, or whatever, the window had passed in their life. We want to be fully free to follow Jesus. So there is a major heart message here. And that's why Jesus talks so much about finances, because he knows it's tied to our heart. And if that's true, then it's also tied to our freedom. And our freedom is our ability to wholeheartedly follow Jesus. And we want to be free to do that. God wants to bring you freedom in that area. We don't want to be a slave to God and money, because it just doesn't work. And so God wants to give you the grace. He wants to provide finances for those who are just saying, we're trying to live simply. He wants to help. We want to help. He also wants to give us discipline to make financial decisions that are right, and that are holy, that are prayed through, so that we can live the generous life. I want to close tonight, not only by giving you that charge, just in our spirit as a follower of Jesus, this is a very practical application of following Jesus. Getting free in our finances. Realizing, if we've never thought about it, that debt is a very real thing. And God wants the opposite of debt. Debt is the lack of freedom. Jesus came to give us freedom. And I want to give a few practicals as we close and before we respond. First of all, we want to respond by asking the question, God, what are you challenging me on? Because you could be at any point in that spectrum of how much you're making, whether it's a little or a lot. And you could be in the same place, the same issues, until we make a major decision to say, God, that's not the way I'm going to live. I'm going to live simply, so that others might simply live. So we just, first of all, just need to, are we there? And allow God to begin shaping, informing our mindset on what we believe and what it looks like to follow God in that way. And then secondly, we need to look at that, think about that graph, that one that has the generous life in it. And then we need to look at that white space that's between that graph, and ask the question, what is that percentage? We're all living on a percentage of our income, but most of us have never thought about what percentage we actually want to live on. And so if we don't decide, the mall will decide for you, or the real estate agent, or because that's their job. And so you need to decide. That's not their job, is not to decide what your spending is. That's your job. So what is the percentage there that God is saying? We need to have an idea. And one of the ways that we can have an idea, if you need help on this, is to take the next 2 or 3 months and track your spending. Because if you don't know where your money is going, then you're not going to be able to build out this space for the generous life. So take 2 or 3 months and track your spending. You might find, oh my goodness, I spend that much on coffee? Zing, 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 you know? Zing. Well, actually, I don't like coffee, but on eating out, on Dr. Pepper, whatever, I don't know, on clothes, it just, whoa, I had no idea. And God, is there any way I can live simply where I don't look at this full closet of clothes and say, I have nothing to wear? What? When there are people in the world, and you could do this all day, this is not fair, but when there's people in the world that would say, give it to me, I need it, I'll wear it till it's threadbare, I'll take it. But just thinking, God, how can I live more simply? Specifically by tracking our income. Just take a 2 or 3 months, try to do it. Every receipt, everything you spend, and then say, okay, wow, this is where I'm spending. Because the next point is then cutting costs. Where are the areas that you're like, wow, I really need to cut costs in that area? Because we're not getting practical. This is all just kind of mumbo jumbo. We've got to get practical in it at some level. How can I cut costs? Because then if I can cut costs, then I can begin servicing debt. Then I can begin giving more. I can begin setting patterns that are going to allow this to be the graph of my life. And so we need to begin thinking through how can we cut our spending. And ultimately, it is about making Jesus Lord of our life. If you're a follower of Jesus, you've said that, I want to make you Lord. But finances is so hard because I like stuff. And this stuff is vying for my heart and my affection, and it's going to give me this better quality of life. And if I could just have a little more, then it would be better. And Jesus is saying, no, only in me will you find better life. Only I can increase quality of life. Practically, make me Lord, because you can't serve two lords and two masters. So God, we want to do that. We want to make you Lord of our lives. And in a very practical way tonight, we want to do that by choosing to live simply. By cutting costs, by using discipline. God, your grace. God, I just pray that your grace would touch each of our hearts and our minds right now. In the places where we feel like, that sounds good, but I don't know how to do that. I don't know how I can practically do that. God, that there would just be a grace to show us how to get free. So tonight, God, we just lay down our desire for stuff. We confess those desires that often dictate the way that we spend our money and time, where our emotional energy is, how we worry about finances. And God, we're asking that you would just set each one free tonight and give practical steps to walk out in freedom and in peace. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Why don't you stand with me? We're going to take the time that we have remaining simply to respond to God. There's a place in our hearts and our lives. We need to respond to God. We need to take the time to make a mental shift. We need to take the time to allow our hearts to come and bow low and say, God, I choose you as the Lord. I confess and realize that in these ways I've made money master. And I've been struggling, and there's been this tension between following you but then living in this world of finances. And you just need to come and get on your face and say, God, I am yours. Set me free. But let's not leave here without responding to God, both practically and then with our hearts. Let's do that as we close.